I want to read from Romans chapter 5. Maybe I'll start with Romans chapter 4 verse 25. Was delivered for offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace. It goes on. Then verse 8, it says, God commends His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And as we move on, here we find there's a comparison between Adam and Christ. I don't know if you noticed here, maybe from verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned. Verse 15, but not as the offense of souls was the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, is abounded unto many. You know, there's a tremendous wealth in God's word, and sometimes we miss it when we don't take time to dig deep and meditate. For example, there's a comparison of what came through Adam and what came through Christ. And when you get time, brothers and sisters, go home and meditate on that. Adam brought death by sinning. And it says here, verse 7, the verse that I was trying to actually speak this morning was verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Suddenly that word flashed into my mind a few days ago. It says here, we are called to reign in life by one Jesus Christ. You know, God told Adam not to eat of the fruit, and he disobeyed, and he brought death. And as a result, humankind suffered so much. But then Jesus brought salvation to us through obedience. And it says here, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. Think about it again, that verse comes in verse 21. Okay, we can even read 20 also. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness and to eternal life by Jesus Christ the Lord. That's the word we want to meditate this morning, brothers and sisters. How God's grace can reign in our life. And before we go to that verse, you know, we need a little history. If we study the history of Israel, we can learn a lot. For example, in the Old Testament, God brought His people out of Egypt. You read that in the book of Exodus. We can say the book of Exodus is the book of redemption. How Pharaoh's a picture of the devil wanted to keep God's people in bondage. And God did many miracles and got them out, like it says in many places, even in Exodus 13, 14. I have looked at this passages many times and always been blessed. Exodus 13, 14. He says, and it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this? You will say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. Yet they were in bondage for 430 years. And then the Lord brought them out through a miracle and brought them out of slavery and set them free. And that's why in the Old Testament the Lord told them to celebrate. Always remember that you were once in bondage. And I find, brothers and sisters, all those who always remember how the Lord brought them out from the house of bondage, I find somehow they grow in the Lord. And those who forget the redemption, and they feel the Lord has not done this and that for them. Maybe that's just in passing. And after he brought them out of Egypt, you know, the Lord had clear plans for them. He guided them in a specific way. For example, Exodus 13 verse 21. And the Lord went before them. How beautiful. By day, in a pillar of cloud, to lead them the way. And by night, in a pillar of fire, to give them light. To go by day and night, he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night. From that I understand, God's got great plans for us, which are all specific. The Lord didn't just tell them, you march on to the land of Canaan, somehow you go. No, it was not like that. God had to tell them which route to go, which way to go, when to go. It's amazing. And in case some of you think, God doesn't care for me, He doesn't love me, I want to tell you that's all the lie of the devil. After we are redeemed, God's got specific plans. And you know, God gave direction which way to go. And so He led them by the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. It's amazing. Take time to think about it. That God leads us in a specific way, like it says in Psalms, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And that will give us faith, brothers and sisters. God doesn't guide us in a haphazard way. No, everything is planned by God. And that gives us more faith. Of course, God's people in the Old Testament, they didn't believe that. They thought, oh, in Egypt, we had garlic and onion and so many good things. And see, they never understood God's plan. And I'm not going to go into all the details. And you know, when the Lord was leading them, God's people were always disobedient, always grumbling, complaining, sinning, worshipping idols, falling into sin of adultery, and disobeying God, murmuring. They were rebellious. That's what we read in the book of Numbers. I told you, Exodus deals with redemption, and the book of Numbers, and because they were not cooperating with God, you know what happened? They had to wander in the wilderness round and round for 40 years. And that was not God's will for them. God wanted them to go straight to the promised land, the land of Canaan. But because they frustrated God's plan, so they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And then, I think the generation almost died. And then we read in the book of Joshua how God led them to the promised land. And I don't know about you, it always excites me when I read the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua is a book of victory. That's the picture of how the Lord wants to lead God's people. One after another, victory after victory. Like we say, from glory to glory. And if you've never read the book of Joshua, I want to encourage you. Read the book of Joshua. Only once, that too, when they disobeyed God's word, they lost. Otherwise, it was a steady march to victory, conquering giant after giant. And I've always been fascinated by the book of Joshua. It's never been boring for me to read the book of Joshua. And you know, sometimes the kings ganged up together to attack Joshua. The Lord said, don't fear them. I'll give them into your hands. And that's a picture of how the Lord leads His people. And we know finally Joshua came into the land of Canaan. And they lived there for some time. And then the manna stopped. But the sad thing is, they didn't remain in victory for long. They sinned again. And because they sinned, God again sold them to slavery. And that's a sad chapter in the history of Israel. That we read that in Judges. How quickly they lost the land. Then the Ammonites attacked, the Philistines attacked, and all the other heights attacked, and just in a matter of time, they became slaves again. Like they say, history repeats itself. We learn a lesson from the history of Israel. Even though God had wonderful plans to lead them from bondage, to lead them to the land of Canaan, they could not, the point I was trying to say is, they could not rule or reign in the land of Canaan. That's what I'm trying to drive with this morning. They are called to reign. God's will was they should rule in the land of Canaan over the giants. But it didn't happen because they lost the victory God gave them. And we know how later on we read in the book of Samuel, God raised up many kings, and there were so few good kings. Maybe here, one David, one Hezekiah, one Josiah, one Jehoshaphat. All the other kings were backslidden kings, and because they went far away from God, God scattered them all over the world for hundreds and thousands of years. And afterwards, of course, God brought them back to their land. And the point of what I'm trying to share with you this morning is how they could not reign in the land of Canaan. Okay, now we can learn, we can see how it applies to our life. Now in the New Testament, you know, Jesus came and took our sins and He brought redemption for us, so that sin or Satan or the world does not have power over us. And once upon a time, sin, world and the devil had power over us. And one day we got saved. And we know that Jesus broke the power of sin. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, I hope you remember the day the Lord touched you and saved your life. And I hope you are thankful for that always. And then, you know, we are so happy that we are saved. That's good. But then the Lord leads us. Then the Lord brings us to baptism in water, where we want to be dead to sin and come to a new life in God. And then the Lord leads us to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a higher life. How wonderful. God also has got great plans for His people in the New Testament. And I hope we understand it. And yet, many times we don't understand God's plan. And there are many cases of God's people, even after they come into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, have backslidden, lived a defeated life. And yet, you know how God showed us the way of victory. That you need not be defeated. That you can have victory over sin. And that's what we read in coming back to Romans chapter 5. See, Romans 5 gives an introduction as to how we can receive the free gift of forgiveness of sins. What we call justification of life. And free gift of grace. And all our past sins can be forgiven. And our past track record can be wiped out. And now you can receive the gift of righteousness, as we read in Romans 5:17. You know the last thing you thank God for? The gift of righteousness. Did you thank God for the gift of righteousness? He says here, verse 18, the free gift came upon all men and the justification of life. And grace abounded to us. That's what we sing, amazing grace. I was once lost in sin. Oh, one day we experienced the grace of God. And we experienced it all free. What? We did not deserve anything, yet we received the grace of God. And after experiencing the grace of God, and then it says here, Romans chapter 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? You know, if you have really experienced the grace of God, you will say, I never want to go back to that old life. That's what Paul says. God forbid, verse 2. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer than I wish all of us had that attitude? How shall we? I'm dead to sin. I don't want to go back to the old life. Then Paul says, we are dead with Christ, we are buried with Christ. The old man is crucified to Christ. And then he says here, verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in the lust thereof. Brothers and sisters, after we are saved now, after we are baptized, and after we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, what is God's will for you? Sin should not rule over you in your body. Don't yield your members as instruments of unbelief to God, but yield yourselves to God. And verse 14, sin shall not rule over you. In other words, once upon a time, sin was ruling over us. And after we have come into the Lordship of Christ, authority of Christ, after we experience the grace of God, oh, I hope we can understand God's heart this morning. You know, some people think, oh brother, it's all bondage. I want to tell you, it's not bondage. It's a question of who's ruling over you. Is sin ruling over you? Or Christ ruling over you? Or grace ruling over you? Or the Holy Spirit ruling over you? Some people, for some time sin, for some time the Holy Spirit. And that's also bondage. But you know, you come into freedom when you give yourself totally to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want sin to rule over me. I want you, Lord, to be the King and Lord of my life. I want you to rule over me. I want you to reign in my life. And such a person will not be in bondage. And verse 22 says, now being made free from sin, you become servants to God, you have fruit into holiness, and then everlasting life. You know, and that's the gospel we proclaim. Yeah, we praise the Lord for the gift of righteousness, for the gift of forgiveness of sins, for the gift of justification. But the Lord wants to lead us higher. He doesn't want sin to rule over us. And He wants grace to rule over us. And that's why Jesus brought in the kingdom of heaven. Or we say kingdom of God. Or we can say the government of God. You know, in India, we had elections last week. And now there's a new government. Brothers and sisters, I want to ask you this morning, have you experienced a new government in your life? Once upon a time, maybe you were under the government of sin, under the government of the devil, under the government of the world. Can you say, I've repented and I've been translated into the kingdom of God? Can you say, I've come under the government of God? And that's the gospel we proclaim. And in case sin is ruling over you, I want to invite you this morning to repent and turn to Christ. You can come under the government of God. And I tell you one thing, it's wonderful to be under the government of God, under the authority of Christ. You know, if you're under the authority of Christ, Satan cannot have power over you. It's wonderful, brothers and sisters. And sin will lose its power over you. It's a question of to whom you are yielding. You yield to sin, you become a slave of sin. You yield to God, slowly, slowly, slowly you become a slave of righteousness, slave of God. And you come to a wonderful life in Christ. And that's what Jesus explained, for example, the Sermon on the Mount. What it means to be under the government of God. What it means to have the kingdom of heaven in our hearts, here on earth. There's a change of government. For example, Matthew 30 spoke about God's word. You know, when God's word governs your life, you bring forth fruit. All the hardness goes away. And the stone, everything is removed from your life. All the worry is removed from your life. And God's word brings forth fruit. And I believe that's God's will for all of us. God's great longing is to let His word work in us so that we can be under the authority of God's word. God's word can govern your life, rule your life. And And that's what I want. And then you bring 30, 60, 100 fold fruit in your life. And I can only testify this morning, it's wonderful to be under the government of God. I can tell you this morning, it is not bondage. And I want to testify, I want to be only under the government of God till the Lord gives me life, and I never want to go back to the old life. I hope you can say this morning, no turning back, like we sing. The cross before me, the world behind me. Is it just a song, or can you say this morning? So at the end of the meeting, I give you a chance to testify. Will you stand up and say, the world is behind me, the cross before me. I want the Lord to have total control of my life, and I never want to go back to the old life. Like Peter said, like the dog that returns to the vomit. Unfortunately, many of God's people have returned to the vomit. I want to ask you this morning, are you going forward or are you going backwards? Is that God's will? You should go back to that vomit again. Oh, once you experience the grace of God, I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, you will never go back to the vomit. Yeah, God gives us a change of heart. And then, you know, in this new government, it's a good government. It's a peaceful government. We have looked at this verse many times, but I'm not tired of looking at it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. What a wonderful government, where peace rules in your heart. I feel sad when I see God's people restless. Some people are so restless, so touchy, restless about this and that. That means Christ is not ruling in your heart. Like they say, you don't have to be like that, touch me not. Some people are so touchy. Small things disturb them so much. One word you say, that disturbs them. Many husbands and wives are also like that. Very touchy. And I don't believe that God's will that we should be like that. We should be able to say, I'm not like that. You can touch me. I'll not shrink. Yeah. I hope all the husbands and wives will say that. Peace of Christ ruling in our hearts every day. 24/7. No matter what happens. That's our privilege in Christ in the new covenant. I believe that's what the Lord wants to lead us to. Where the peace of God is ruling in our hearts personally and in our home and in the church. And sin must lose its power. The more you hate sin, we should say, Lord, I don't want sin to rule in my body. And you know, James chapter 3 speaks much about our tongue being under control. I want to ask you this morning, brothers and sisters, who's ruling your tongue? Are you ruling your tongue? You speak whatever you like? Or can you say, I've let the Holy Spirit control me? My tongue is under the control of the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful way to live on earth. That means every word you speak, like it says here, Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Have you ever asked the Lord to fulfill this verse in your life? Lord, every time I open my mouth, only good words, only blessed words, only edifying words, only words that can lift and comfort and strengthen others. Have you aspired for this life? Lord, this tongue, once upon a time, we used to speak whatever we like. But, you know, to come under the government of God, to come under the control of the Holy Spirit, and to let grace reign over our tongue. When the grace of God controls your tongue, brothers and sisters, you can't speak words that will hurt, stinging words, bad words. Oh, some people got a gift there. You know, I've seen some sisters also. They seem to have a gift to see something. Like an arrow it goes. They want to hurt. I don't believe that's from the Holy Spirit. Oh, say, Lord, make my speech more and more gracious. More and more heavenly. And I believe God wants to make us also glorious and gracious that every time we open our mouth, blessing comes out. Don't tell me, brother, it's not possible. That's unbelief. It is. Why is it written here? That means it's possible that your speech can become so wonderful and glorious, and that you go around blessing people with God's word, the words of encouragement. And I believe in the new covenant, the Lord wants to give all of us such a wonderful ministry of speaking, edifying words. Have you ever coveted that, brothers and sisters? You say, oh brother, I don't get a chance to speak in the platform in CFC. Are you disappointed? But you are having a platform throughout the week. You meet so many people. You can speak to them words of grace. We meet so many people during the week. Our friends and relatives and neighbors. We can all bless them. I hope you say, Lord, I want my tongue to be under control of the Spirit. And what about eyes? Is your eyes under the control of the Holy Spirit? The Lord knows what you're watching, what you're seeing, how you're seeing. See, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes sound, the whole body will be light. See, Peter spoke about people whose eyes cannot cease from adultery. That shows that your eyes can cease from looking in an evil, sinful way. If you let yourself come under the control of the Holy Spirit, when the grace of God reigns, your eyes will be different, brothers and sisters. I want to ask you this morning, I want to encourage you, let the grace of God reign over your life, over your eyes, so that there can be eyes of purity, so that you can tell others, God's changed the way I look, God's changed the way I speak. And then we looked at it the other day also, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that's what grace can do in our lives. Grace can bring every thought to captivity. Can you say amen? I believe that. God can help me to come to such a life that my thoughts can be captured by the power of the Holy Spirit through grace. You know that verse in Titus we have looked at again many times. He says, Titus 2 verse 12. You know, the grace of God will teach you to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, to live soberly, righteously, godly. Can you tell me whether the grace taught you this? If you yield yourself to God's leading and guidance, the grace of God will train you. In some other translations, it's like that. Oh, maybe let the Holy Spirit train us so that sin will lose its power. You can come to a life in the Spirit. And that's what Galatians speaks about. You sow to the Spirit and then you reap the fruit of the Spirit. And Romans 8, Apostle Paul spoke about that life in the Spirit. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I believe God wants us to live so free from all condemnation. That's not from the Lord. And coming back to that verse, Romans 5:17. I hope you can understand God's heart. He says here, those who receive abundance of grace. You know, this grace is a very vast subject. In the beginning, when we experience salvation, we experience one aspect of grace. They can say gift of forgiveness. That is just wonderful. But then, you know what's God's will for all of us? I hope you're not sleeping. God wants to give us abundance of grace. All of us remember when you got your salary, maybe in the beginning you got less salary. But now, you got increment, promotion, double promotion, your salary is increased. From the time you started, maybe 10, 20 times. How is that spiritually, brothers and sisters? You got any promotion? You know the last time you got promotion? Can you see grace of God is increasing? And there's an abundance of grace. Can you understand God's heart? Sometimes we think God's very stingy. He's not giving me grace, brother. I want to tell you, God's not stingy. Oh, He wants to give us so much grace. I've been thinking about that verse. So that it says here, verse 21, grace, so much, even so much grace reign. I want now grace to rule over my life. And after all this, don't tell me, brother, this is bondage. I want to tell you, living under sin is bondage. Doing our will is bondage. And listening to the Holy Spirit and being led by the Spirit and to let the grace of God reign over us, I want to tell you, it's not bondage. And that's what Jesus said in John chapter 10. I came that you might have life, an abundant life. And I hope this morning there will be at least few who will say, Lord, I want this life, an abundant life. And that's what Jesus came to give us, brothers and sisters. Not just a little bit of victory. I believe God's come to give us a rich life in Christ. Christ ruling over us. Grace reigning over us. God's Word governing us. The Holy Spirit giving us a rich harvest in our lives. I believe He wants to come and the Holy Spirit wants to come and flood our hearts with the Holy Spirit, with the love of God. And I believe the Lord also wants to give us abundant joy. Many times I always grieve when I see so many people heavy. You know, like my favorite verses, it says, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then you won't be so serious in your life. I love that verse in 1 Peter. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peace that passeth understanding. And I hope you will say, Lord, I never want to go back to that vomit. I never want to go back to that old, sinful, wretched life. And I want to come more and more under the authority of Christ. I want that heavenly spirit, that heavenly mind, and to experience more of God's grace. And I really believe the Lord wants to give us much grace. You know, like it says, God's able to make all grace abound. That you always having all sufficiency in all things, about every good work. That means for every job. Sometimes we all have, we all have many responsibilities. At home, in the office, sometimes in the church. And you may think, oh, it's tough for me. I want to tell you this morning, the gospel, grace is available for every task. And no matter how many responsibilities you have in your life, can you say grace is enough for me? And I believe that's the gospel we proclaim, brothers and sisters. And oh, may we all come under that grace, like Brother Zach often speaks about, living under the waterfall of grace. You know, when you go to the waterfall, there's freshness. You know, you're not so sweating there. There's a freshness, and I believe God wants to give us that freshness. He wants us to experience more grace for every task, so that we can say, yes, God's given me grace for this task. And there's no pride about it. You will not be proud about any task you have to do. You say, it's God who enabled me, it's God who gave me grace for this task. And there'll be genuine humility. And there won't be any artificial humility. That's all religiosity. Oh, may God help us this morning. And I want to challenge you, brothers and sisters, don't let sin rule over your life. Come under the waterfall of grace and experience the grace. And how many we should be able to say, as long as we have life, Lord, I want grace of God to abound in my life. When you come to the end of your life, we should be able to say, God gave me abundance of grace. And then I'll have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. So nobody need weep over my... If the Lord takes me. See, abundant entrance to the kingdom of God. We should be able to say, this brother, when he lived on earth, God's grace was on him, now he's had an abundant entrance to the kingdom of God. And even a funeral should be glorious. Yeah, I believe that. Like Jesus said, weep not for me. Yeah. Even if you're not alive, nobody need weep for us. We live for God. And grace of God reigned over us. And we honored God. And I hope you'll respond to God this morning. Shall we close our eyes and respond to God's word? Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, you saved us from the house of bondage. And thank you, Lord, for your great specific leading over our lives. And thank you, Lord, you want grace to reign over us. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we praise you and we worship you this morning that we have such a wonderful Savior. Oh, you long to give us abundance of grace. And we pray this morning you will take away every spirit of heaviness from your people, Lord. And we pray that they'll get faith to come into this tremendous life of grace and they'll experience this grace in their lives, Lord. And lead us higher, Lord. We give you praise and thanks and worship, Lord. Bless your people this morning, Lord. They'll come into this liberty, Lord. Yes, Lord, into this abundance of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I would just like to share a couple of verses with you in the light of what we heard this morning. I was thinking about a phrase that comes in Exodus chapter 2. There's a little phrase there that speaks about Moses. You know, Moses grew up in the palace and he was a strong man and a military man. And he thought God had chosen him to deliver the Israelites. And he had his own military plan to bring out the people of Israel from Egypt. And there's a little phrase there in verse 12. When he saw somebody, an Egyptian hitting a Hebrew man, there's a phrase that says he looked this side and that side. And then when there was nobody around, he just bashed him and in one shot he killed him. And you know, because of that, what happened? 40 years he had to wait unnecessarily in the wilderness. If only he had waited for God's time, God would have, you know, finished this work 30 years earlier. Because God told Abraham that your children will be there as slaves in Egypt for 400 years. But actually when they finally left, it was 430 years. That means 30 years he wasted because he didn't wait for God's time. When you are tempted to look this side and that side, whether it is in your office, to click on a site, or maybe to speak a word to your husband or to your wife in the house, or to your neighbor or anything, just remember this verse. And that can take you further 30 years from reaching where God wants you to reach. The secret of growth in the Christian life is that we live before God's face, not before man's face. Whatever man may say, do, that matters nothing to us. Because ultimately what matters is what God thinks of you and me. Look at this verse in Psalm 16. The secret of the psalmist's spiritual growth is this. Psalm 16, verse 8. It says, I have set the Lord continually before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. The secret of the psalmist's life is that he always set the Lord before him. There's a verse in Isaiah 53, it says that Jesus grew up before the face of the Father. And that was the secret of his life. When we grow up before his face alone and not before the face of man, then we come into a life of growth. If we try to live before man's face, trying to please this one or that one, and that is a sure way of our downfall. Another verse, it says, whether you are really growing in the Lord and whether you are making progress, is this one verse in Psalm 41. Psalm 41, verse 11. It says, the psalmist says here, by this I know that you are pleased with me, because my enemy does not shout in triumph over me. You see, this is the secret, because the psalmist kept the Lord always before him and he walked before his face, not bothering about what anybody thought about him, what marks anybody gave to him. He always set his eyes upon the Lord, and because of that, he says, by this I know that my enemy does not triumph over me. That is a secret that God is pleased with me. If you want God to be pleased with you, and the enemy, his shout should subside in you, and the shout of triumph should increase in you, like it says in Romans 8:37, in all these things, God will make us more than conquerors. And if you want to be a conqueror and more than conqueror, keep this verse in your mind. Keep always the Lord before you. Try to live before His face and try to grow before His face. For that, God has amply promised. You read that verse, one last verse, I'll close. John's Gospel 1, verse 16. John's Gospel 1:16. It says here, for of His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Grace is not far away from us. God gives grace to the humble. Yeah, we have that verse there. It's there in James. God gives grace only to the humble. The humble person is the one who doesn't justify himself. He always acknowledges his sin. He tries to justify others. In justifying others, he'll be justified. So when we humble ourselves, God gives grace, and not only grace, grace upon grace, so that sin shall not have dominion over us. Amen.